We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor D. Light Dwight Shepherd. How are you this morning?
Ding, ding, ding. You always do that. Makes me think I'm coming out of the corner here.
I can get my boxing gloves. I think they're still under there.
Oh, I don't want you to have those. You might throat pump me or something.
No, I'm gonna give the devil a black eye.
There you go.
I'm going to break his nose.
There you go.
That's okay, well, right?
We do that by standing in faith.
Amen.
Which is what we'll be talking about here in a little bit. So,
amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper. Okay, I'm not going to lie. Miss Tina will get that posted shortly after the program is ended. I always say we'll get it posted, but that's a lie. Usually it's her. Sometimes it's me.
It's a team effort.
Yeah. Okay, so it's okay to say we?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get that posted shortly after the program is ended. If you would like to be... if you would like to be on the blessing wheel for the book for the month of July, all you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. The book for this month is Flickering Lamps, Christ and His Church by Henry and Richard Blackaby. This was picked out by Pastor Tim Patterson. He actually bought it and brought it up here. Mm. And said that could be our book. We will be doing this book today, so stay tuned. And Miss Tina will spin the wheel after the program. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City. I think I covered it all. Okay. Would you pray to start us out?
We probably better, hadn't we?
Yeah.
That's for sure, in all things. Well, our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to you for all that you are to us, all that you've done for us, and the good plans that you have. Father, we're thankful that your love never fails. It's not based on our performance or our goodness, Lord. It's based on your love, and we give you praise for that. Because of your love, we're gathered here this morning to share the good news about Jesus, to share your word, to pray. And I believe, Father, as we pray, receive answers, Lord God. I thank you that you are the prayer-answering covenant God. That your power is not limited, Lord God. There's nothing that you can't help us in. And your love, Lord God, causes you to desire that. And so we're thankful for all of that. We ask you to bless this program. God, I know what you've put in my heart this morning to share from your word. I pray you grace me to do it in a way that edifies and pleases you, edifies us in the process. I pray, God, your grace and mercy be upon those, Lord, who are having situations in their life that are very demanding and trying, Lord. I'm mindful. I don't know who they were, but, Lord, as I passed by a wreck on the way over here this morning on the back road between Burns Flat and Elk City, Lord God, I know that those people had things to do this morning, places to be. And I pray, Lord, that even as I did when I passed, Lord, that if they were injured, that you would comfort them in their injury. And, Lord God, help them with any detail, anything they need. Father, we ask your grace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
I could probably pray the whole hour today, you know, I'm kind of...
Yeah. I like your title, Standing in Faith.
Standing in Faith. Standing. In other words, taking a stand of faith, standing. Sometimes I am not doing nothing, I'm just standing here. Well, sometimes standing here is the doing. Like when I mentioned the title this morning, Tina said, are you going to Ephesians 6? You know, which, you know, you think, yeah, having done all, therefore stand and stand with your armor in place. You know, I like what Terrell Glaze says. He goes, we got a big target on us, brother. We sleep in our armor. Yeah. I said, yeah, we better. We sleep in our armor with our wedding clothes ready because Jesus is coming and the bride of Christ needs to be ready. And the number one way that we are ready and stay ready is by standing in faith. So we're going to get right into the Word. Open your Bible, if you can, to Mark chapter 9. And if you're able, I see Monica's got her notebook over here, writing down notes so that you can go back later and, you know, read these passages again. And so if there's someone you know who's been struggling, who needs that word of encouragement maybe right now, you just take a minute, send them a text, say, hey, join us right here on the Hour of Power. Encourage your brothers and sisters in the Lord, maybe family members. Mark chapter 9 is where we're going to begin, and I'm going to pick it up here in verse 14, Mark 9, 14. Jesus, in what's in front of this is that Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He took with him Peter, James, and John, and there they had an absolute glorious encounter with the presence of God himself, and they come back from this literal spiritual high, I mean spiritual mountaintop experience, and they come down, and verse 14 says, and when they came to the other disciples, that'd be the other nine disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. So that's that's a little bit different spiritual climate from where they just came. You know, they're on the mountaintop and they're in the presence of God, and God himself, God's voice is confirming that Jesus is my beloved son. Listen to him. Do what he says. They come down from that, and here's this crowd arguing with the nine other disciples. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. That tells you something. Must have been something about Jesus at that moment that caused those people to have that reaction. He asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that's robbed him of speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth. He grinds or gnashes his teeth. He becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit. What does it say? But they could not. They could not. He doesn't say they refused to. He didn't say, I asked them and they said, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. They didn't say that. He said they could not. It implies to me they must have tried. You ever tried to do something in faith and you didn't get the results you really wanted? The answer to that, if you've been saved more than a day or two, would be yes. Yes, we have. We've prayed about things that we didn't see. I mean, I can think of things years ago even that I prayed about. Finally, God had to give me the ears to hear that I was praying for the wrong thing. You know, he didn't prompt me to pray for that thing. That was not part of his will. He had a different plan, and I was asking for something that was not motivated and prompted by hearing from him first. Monica, question. You better pass this. How do we get faith? Where does faith come from?
By hearing.
I figured she could pass that. She probably heard that from me, heard it from the Word hundreds of times. And here's why. Here's why I mention that so often. It's because I heard a lot about faith, and I heard a lot of powerful faith testimonies when I was a baby Christian. And I thought, well, hey, if this guy can do it and that gal can do it and they can believe God and confess for this and do this, man, I can too. Because, you know, after all, God is no respecter of persons. So if he'll do it for them, he'll do it for me. And, I mean, I just took that, boom, you know. I had this childlike exuberance to believe God for things. But I wasn't taught, or at least I didn't get it. Maybe they were teaching it, but I wasn't getting it. That faith doesn't begin by you deciding what you want God to do for you. Faith begins by you hearing from God. and responding to what you have heard by revelation of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 10:17, that verse says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you go to the original language, it literally means, it says faith comes by a rhema, that's a Greek word for a revelation, an aha. It's when God shows you a revelation of what he wants you to have or wants you to believe. Just like this. I mean, obviously, Jesus didn't die on the cross the day I decided to become a Christian. It was long since done, before I was ever born. And had I heard about God's love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life? Of course, John 3:16, had I heard that? You know I had. I mean, I grew up in America, in Oklahoma, in the Bible Belt, you know. It's like I'd heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it, but it didn't mean, it didn't affect me. I didn't allow it to affect me because I didn't put faith in it. I hadn't heard that from God himself. I'd just heard it from people. I'd maybe seen it. I'm going to tell you something straight up. I was pretty illiterate concerning spiritual things. I mean, because I was legally an adult watching a football game. Sharon and I were married. We were married really young, 17, in case you wondered. And we're still together 41 years later. You don't believe in miracles? What's that? Hello. You ever met me? I mean, this woman has to have faith. And that street goes both ways. That's all I got to say about that. I plead the fifth. No. We were watching, there was a football game on TV, and this guy held up a banner, and it said, JN316. And I was like, I turned around there to her, I said, hey, what's that mean? I'm serious. I said, hey, what's that mean? She didn't relate that it was a Bible verse. She didn't put the two together. That here's a guy at a football game holding up a banner, it says John 3:16. She knew what John 3:16 said. She just didn't bridge the gap. I was asking her. I kind of figured out that was a Bible verse, but I was asking her what the verse was. I didn't know. And she said, well, why didn't you go look it up? I didn't know what JN meant for tear. She said, well, go to John. Go to what? Do John, what's that? I didn't know John was a book of the Bible. I'm serious. Me. The guy who loves to teach the Word of God. Yeah. Part of the reason why I believe God gave me such a passion to teach the Word of God is because I don't assume everybody knows it. Mm-hmm. I've actually come in 30 years of ministry has taught me to not assume, but to absolutely know that everybody doesn't know it. And I didn't know how to find John. I didn't know what 3:16 meant. I didn't know it was the chapter and then the verse. I didn't know. And I certainly hadn't heard from the Lord about it. So faith is not an automatic thing. When you get saved, and I'm going to say it this way. When you become a Christian, obviously you have to have faith in Jesus Christ to become a Christian. You hear the gospel. It comes alive in you. You get this aha from God that Jesus really is the Son of God and he really did die for your sins, and you trust that. You respond to that hearing in your heart by trusting that. You pray, you confess Jesus with your mouth as Lord. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth Jesus Lord, you'll be saved. That's how we all get saved. Nobody gets saved any other way. I don't care where you come from, what your background is. If you're born again Christian, if you're saved, you're a child of God now, it's because you believed in your heart what God said, and you confess with your mouth in agreement with what God said, and God's word came alive in you. God's principle of faith worked, and you were saved. You were made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things become new. You're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. All those things that the Bible refers to as salvation, being born again, it all happens by faith. Faith is important. And some people have had, they've kind of got this stigma against faith. Are you one of them faith preachers? I had somebody ask me one time, you don't want them prosperity preachers, are you? You don't want them name it and claim it and all that? And I said, well, I've read the Bible cover to cover multiple times. I've been preaching out of it for years and years and years. And I can't find anywhere in there it says it's God's will for us to have poverty. So if you ask me, am I a prosperity preacher, I'd say I'd have to say yes, because the Bible's filled with prosperity promises. Now, you may not understand what God says prosperity is, because you could have all the money in the world and be bankrupt, because that's not prosperity. Prosperity, first and foremost, is prosperity of your spirit, soul, mind, body, and yes, even your possessions, your finances. I believe God wants to bless it all. But the most important thing is your spiritual life. And it takes faith to have a quality spiritual life. So what we're going to talk about is how to stand in faith. Because, listen, having faith and standing in faith is not the same thing. I mentioned this before we went on the air. You know, a guy could be sitting there with a steak. He's got a fork. He's got a steak knife. He picks up his fork and starts trying to eat that steak. Steak knife's laying right there. Somebody said, well, why don't you cut your steak with the steak knife? You have a steak knife. He says, well, I have it, but I've never been taught to use it. He's trying to cut that steak with the edge of a fork because he doesn't know how to use what's already been provided for him. Mm-hmm. And faith is provided for you in your covenant with God. Faith is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, faithfulness. So let's go to the 9th chapter, 14th verse. They came down, finds him arguing. Just, what are you arguing about? And the man in the crowd said, teacher, I brought my son who's possessed by spirit, robbed him speech. He gives them all the symptoms, tells them all about it. I asked your disciples, drive out the spirit, but they could not. That's the end of verse 18. Now look at this, verse 19, Jesus said this. O unbelieving generation. Question, what's the problem? What's the problem? Answer, unbelief. He did not say non-belief. There's no such thing as non-belief. You believe something. Somebody said, well, I'm sick, and the doctor said I have this, and the doctor said I have that. Doctor said I'm going to die. God said, I am your healer. You shall live and not die. By his stripes you were healed. You got two choices to make. You can believe. You're going to believe something. You're either going to believe what the doctor said, or you're going to believe what God said, or you're going to believe whatever blend of those two things you decide to believe, but you're going to believe something. You're not going to just not believe. So what I want to get us to understand, first of all, is you're either trusting God or you're trusting something else. You either believe in God's goodness and God's ability to overcome your problem, or you believe in the evil of the problem and its ability to overcome you in spite of God. Just wanted to never think about it that way. Well, you should. If God be for you, who can be against you? So, O unbelieving generation, Jesus said, how long shall I stay with you or put up with you? How long shall I put up with you? I bet God's probably thought that about me a few times. He said, bring the boy to me. So they brought him. And when the spirit, the evil spirit that was in the boy, when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. It threw him into convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. I have a note on the wall of my office at home, and it says this. It says the devil always tries to distract you from faith by using drama.
Come on.
Drama. Emotions. Like, you're not going to operate in faith with a whole bunch of drama. Save the drama for your mama, because your father likes faith. Okay? Mama probably does too. The devil causes this dramatic situation to manifest right in front of their very eyes. The boy's thrown to the ground in convulsion, rolling around, foaming at the mouth. Watch Jesus' response here. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? I bet he said it in such a calm voice, they were all going, what? And the father's probably answered in a not quite so calm voice, from childhood it's often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, you get that? If you can do anything. Jesus answered him, verse 23, first three words, followed by a question mark. Jesus said, if you can, I guarantee you that's the tone of voice he said it in. If you can, everything is possible for him that believes. I mean, isn't that what your Bible says or something very similar to that, whatever translation you're reading? Here's this father. He's got this issue. He's got a problem, and it is a problem. His son is possessed of this demonic spirit that literally causes him to have this manifestation, that some sort of seizures and this and that. But it was demonic. It wasn't just a health issue. It was caused by an evil spirit in a boy. A boy? Well, how'd that get there? Well, I bet boy's not the only one in the house that needs a revival. And all this drama, all this hoopla, the boy's rolling around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus doesn't go sucked into the drama. He just asks him, how long has he been like this? He goes, ever since he was little. And he said, it often tries to kill him. Well, that's what the devil comes to do, steal, kill, and destroy. Shouldn't surprise anybody. But then the father says, if you can do this, if you can help us, if you can. Let me tell you something that is never going to be a statement of faith. Telling God, if you can, is not a statement of faith. Jesus responded to that, didn't he? He didn't just let it go. He confronted that attitude. The father said, if you can. And Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to them that believe. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, now I do like this guy. I'm going to give this guy some credit. He said, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. If he didn't believe at all, he wouldn't have ever brought the boy to Jesus. Right? So that's an element of belief. I wouldn't even be praying if I didn't believe. But the question is, what are you praying? How are you praying? Are you praying because you believe, but then while you're praying, you're expressing your doubt and unbelief? That's not going to get results. It's not going to get the results that you want to get. Coming to God alone without faith is not enough. We're going to get there in a little bit, but Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. So here's this guy, he said, you know, oh, help me if you can. And Jesus literally confronts that if you can business and tells him all things are possible to them that believe. So in other words, what you receive is not about what God can do. It's about what you believe God can do. And it's not even about what you believe God can do. You remember the leper that came to Jesus? He said, if you're willing, I know you can make me clean. That's a statement of faith in Jesus' ability, but it's not a statement of faith in Jesus' plan. He had to be convinced that it was the will of Jesus to heal him from that leprosy, so he put it that way. If you're willing, I know you're able. And Jesus said, I am willing, and reached out and literally physically touched him just to absolutely shock everybody around and to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt what God's will is concerning your uncleanness. Whether that's a physical uncleanness like leprosy or a spiritual uncleanness, God is not unwilling to touch you. He is willing to meet you right where you are and touch you right in the middle of your disease, whether it's a physical or a spiritual disease, and he is willing to heal, and he is more than willing, he's well able. Amen. So I love the fact that this father said, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. So what I want to say is this, you could be a believer struggling with unbelief. And as long as you're in unbelief, you're going to get unresults.
Come on.
you're not going to get results just because you're a believer. And let me go back to this. Having faith and standing in faith is not the same thing. You have to know how to use it. And that's what, when this father said, help me with my unbelief, Jesus saw that the crowd running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. So here's how he's going to help him. He's going to help him by demonstrating how faith works. What does it say Jesus did? He rebuked the evil spirit. How do you rebuke? Answer, with words. With words. Not thoughts. Not feelings. You rebuke with words. I know I've been rebuked a few times. You rebuked the evil spirit. He said, you deaf, mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. Every one of those things is words. He's using words. He didn't throw holy water on him. Come on, that's movies. He used words. He used the power of words to release the authority of the Father that was invested in Jesus, the Son, as he walked on the earth. And that same authority and power belongs to the church, Jesus' followers, us, the born-again believers in Jesus Christ. That same power and authority belongs to us. I've used this 100 times at least, but, you know, you can walk in here and be dark. Say, boy, I sure wish it was light. Well, activate the switch. Flip the light switch on, the lights come on. It's not rocket science. You don't have to generate the electricity. It's already there. The light bulbs work. They're ready to do their job. They just need the connection to be made. You know, that switch in the wall over there, it doesn't generate electricity. All it does is make the connection. That's all. It just closes the gap. And you know what your words, your expressed faith words do? Closes the gap between your problem and God's promise. Makes the connection. Light be. And it comes on. It makes the connection. Our faith-filled words make the connection between the problem and the promise, between the situation and the Savior. If without faith-filled words, God doesn't have what he needs to operate on your behalf. You want to say something?
No, I was just, when you was saying that, I heard, when you realize that you're in darkness, call for the light.
Mm-hmm.
Because the light will the darkness.
Yep. Get your. He said, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I don't. What words should I speak? Go ask the Father. Go ask him. Mm-hmm. Go in prayer. Say, Father, I got this situation. You know all about it, Lord. I'm needing word from you. I need a word from you to speak. Holy Spirit, lead me. And you know, and I would strongly suggest this, pray with your spirit. When your understanding is inadequate, pray with your spirit. You say, I don't understand that. Go read the book of Corinthians, and you'll find out what it means to pray with your spirit. It's okay. Go do it. You know, go read 1 Corinthians 12:13-14. The 13th chapter tells you that love is the most important part of the operation of the gifts of the spirit. Without that, you're just nonsense anyway. But read those chapters and realize, Paul said, man, when I pray with my spirit, my understanding's unfruitful. But whoever prays with his spirit utters mysteries before God. Well, that's sometimes we need that. Amen. I don't know everything. I know you might have thought I do, but I don't. Monica, that's not for you. No. Pastor knows that. No. Pastor knows Jesus, and Jesus knows everything. And so here, this man said, help me with my unbelief. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And because, listen, unbelief attacks all of us. It tries to attach itself to us. I don't care if you've been saved 30 years preaching the word. We have got to guard ourselves against unbelief, and we've got to be constantly keeping ourselves reminded of how faith works. You would do something. Years ago, I did this, but now I don't remember how to do it because you haven't been doing it. You just did it. If you're saved, you have operated in the principles of faith. Romans 10:9 says, believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Confess him with your mouth as Lord and Savior. You shall be saved. Every believer has done that. But not every believer is doing that. And that's where we miss it. We want to roll all the burden on God. If you can do anything, help me. He goes, if you can, all things are possible to him, believe. Why don't you express some belief? The father said, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. Jesus healed the boy, drove the devil out of that boy. And that helped that father's unbelief. But what really helped that father's unbelief is with that, the way Jesus did it. He spoke faith words, words of authority and power, and that's what we need to do.
Amen.
All right.
want to say something. I wasn't going to, but I keep hearing it, so I'm going to. Obedience over everything. So, I've been dealing with some emotions and some feelings. And I really hated that I relapsed after Mark and Victoria. But this past few days, I've been really talking to God about the hate I have for my actions. And in surrendering that back some years ago and trusting God to guide me through everything, most importantly, surrendering it, admitting it, and surrendering it, God was then able to take my mess and use it to help others, like Kaylin and Natasha. How awesome. Now I have a different perspective of my relapse. I no longer hate it. I thank God for it. And that may sound weird, and it may sound kind of crazy, but I thank God for that relapse, because in my mess, the mess I made in surrendering it with time, he took it and made a message to bring my two bonus daughters to Christ, to him and sobriety. And now Angel is back home with his mom, you where know, he wants to be.
Sounds like Romans 8:28, don't it? We know in all things God's working together for the good. I think, you know, you say, I thank God for my relapse. And I know you're not thanking God for the relapse. No. You're thanking God for what he is able to do through that season in your life, that valley of brokenness, you know, the enemy intended for evil, God intended for good.
But I almost hate to admit it, but I've been carrying around this hate for myself.